Hello everyone and welcome back to our weekly podcast. On this episode, Adam has prepared a list of games which all got their remasters. Note that Adam is now editing this podcast into short 5 to 10 minutes videos, so if 1 hour is too long for you, be sure to visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel Middle-Aged Gamers. And with that out of the way, enjoy your show!
Hello everyone and welcome back to Middle-Aged Gaming. Today we are going to be doing kind of a newish format where instead of picking individual things and we just kind of present them to you, we just have a general grouping, I guess you'd call it, of games, and we're going to be kind of discussing the theme as a whole. So today, I believe it was Phil who described it last week. Was that right? Or was it Antoine?
I think Phil described it last week.
All right. So Antoine, yes, would you like to introduce us to today's theme?
Yes, sure. So basically, this week's theme is very middle-aged gaming thematic. By this, I mean that we are of a certain age, so we played already game 20 years ago at least, and we miss these really, really retro games. And as it happens, a lot of them has been remastered or rebooted. So the list that Adam will provide to us is a list of all the recent or not so recent remasters, I don't know, over the past, 5-10 years maybe? And we'll talk about this.
So the ones you guys don't have on the list that I sent earlier are Shadow of the Colossus, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, Trials of Mana, and Warcraft 3 Reforged. Those are the ones that you guys don't have. So, all right. So you guys have the list. Is there any particular one you guys want to start on? Or
From the last one, I think you talked about Warcraft.
Sure, we can do Warcraft 3. All right.
That'd be terrible. Start with the worst ones.
Start with the lowest ones. All right. So Warcraft 3 Reforged. This came out not too long ago, and yeah, it just came out to horrible reviews. I mean, did you guys play the original Warcraft 3?
Yeah, so many times. Loved it.
Same here. I didn't really understand why they even needed this, I do understand why they needed it, and I completely disagree with the reasoning. I mean, why do you think they redid it?
Just because the original one was quite old, and maybe I think it was at the E3 that they presented first the remaster, and it was absolutely beautiful. The animation, the cutscenes and everything. And when I saw that, I was hyped, really hyped. But you know me, I never or very rarely get games really on day one. And, you know, when I saw the reviews and, you know, this is what they showed us at the E3 and this is what we actually get. Like, yeah, good call. Very good call. I think there was issues everywhere. Just not only the design, I think. The matchmaking, the multiplayer was catastrophe.
I think the BattleNet was the biggest issue, yeah.
I think everything went wrong there.
Yeah, well, I think too, wasn't it compatible where the players with the original could play this one too? And that had issues?
Yes, it was. Because they've come out with the Diablo... The Diablo 2 Resurrected, they have come out and already said they will be using different BattleNet servers, so you won't be able to meet other players. I think partly because of the failure that happened with Warcraft 3.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, this is one thing that I was hearing was part of the reason why they felt the need to do it, was they actually went back and retconned a few things, or rather developed things that weren't necessarily in the original. For example, in World of Warcraft, Sylvanas is obviously a huge character, and for better or worse, you know. But in Warcraft 3, she really was just kind of a guard, basically, who got killed pretty quickly and turned into...
Yeah, she dies.
Yeah, and then turned into the first Banshee, and that's it. And then, you know, she's there in a couple of missions, but it was basically just kind of like, oh, you know, she was a leader of the guard or whatever, but she's not that important. She's more important.
She's
in
just a Banshee with a name.
Right, exactly. She was just the first Banshee, and then, you know, she helped them create more. But yeah, so apparently they were supposed to, I don't know if they did it because I haven't played Reforged, but I heard they were going to give her a more prominent role in it. So yeah, it seemed like they were basically, okay, we've kind of muddled up the lore in World of Warcraft, and we've had a few resets with going back into the past and all these other things. So we're going to go back to Warcraft 3, and we're going to make the old lore compatible with the new lore. So,
which is a shame because Warcraft 3 is all about Arthas.
Yeah, yeah, it is all about Arthas. I think it's still primarily about him. I think they just kind of gave her more lines and made her more of a... I mean, I don't think she was a main character, but I think they made it that she wasn't just kind of this throwaway, you know, thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I loved the original Warcraft 3. I know a lot of people didn't like the hero system just because it did get to the point where... Yeah, Phil hated it, yeah. Where it just got to the point where... You know, you don't even have to do the RTS too much. You just have to build up this one character super strong. And they did a real mess of it in the sense that the way the heroes scaled was kind of crazy. So if you wanted two heroes, if you had two level four heroes, they're actually worse than one level six hero. So you were better off just having one hero and then just really leveling up that guy. And once that guy was max level, then jumping into your next guy. Yeah, I mean, do you think it did anything right, though? Do you think there was anything good about Warcraft Reforged?
I was put off by the original Warcraft, and exactly for the reasons that you say, because for me, that I was all about RTS, and it would be kind of like going into StarCraft and just, you know, having Kerrigan walking around at ridiculous levels and just consuming the world.
So like for me, World War II.
Yeah, I was disappointed with how it went, and I felt like in Reforged, like I could see where the direction was going and how they were planning to, you know, evolve the Warcraft series. I always just felt, why didn't they have like a setting or a feature? Would it have been that broken just to have like a disabled characters? Would have for me just have fulfilled both roles and would have seemed relatively easy if you've already got the whole game coded, just have a feature button that just went click off. Okay, now we can just play it as an RTS game instead of I've got a character that's slightly higher than yours. And I was expecting something in Warcraft 3 Reforged maybe to have addressed that or allowed you to kind of not had to play it that way. And it didn't come. So I didn't really bother with the Reforged. I just heard it was terrible anyway. So it was, you know, fuel to the fire. Why bother?
Yeah, you could make custom maps like that. But yeah, having a heroes off button would have been... Yeah, that seems like an intuitive thing. I wonder why they didn't do that. I mean, I do like the graphical updates. It does look pretty. I don't think it's necessary, but
that's what worries me a little bit about. Although, again, I spoke about this with Diablo 2. You can have the button where you can switch it back to the old graphics, and I just worry so much about when I play it now. I don't know. I have to wait till I see whether it will tarnish like those old memories of the game of how amazing it was back in the day of playing sort of like Diablo 2, just after Diablo 1 in that. For me, like golden age of gaming where I was in my teenage years and everything's amazing and just, you know, wow, a 32K modem. Wow, you know, and
amazing.
Which is one of my favorite clips from the Hackers movie, if anyone got the reference, from Angelina Jolie's character is amazed by his computer that has a 32K modem. But yeah.
Yeah. Apparently Diablo 2 Resurrected is kind of trending right now. So I guess, Blizzard's obviously now, they've been in trouble for a while and now they're part of a federal lawsuit. So for sexual discrimination, but yeah, apparently Diablo 2 is trending. So that's some good news for Blizzard, I guess.
Just one last thing before we move on the Warcraft, what really disappointed me is like, I think it went out when in 2019 or something like this, Reforged? But anyway, that was when World of Warcraft was actually, you know, going down really seriously. And I think they released Vanilla about the same time. So for me, I had in mind that, okay, the MMO is dying, is gone. So they are releasing Warcraft 3 RTS, maybe in mind of rebooting the series so we can get Warcraft 4 or something like this, you know? And the catastrophe that they made with the 3 was like, okay, now that's it's gone and done. Let's just bury them and rest in peace. Thank you. Goodbye, Warcraft. You were nice, but now we'll move on to Warhammer.
I have to admit, I did wonder when you started to see, like, everybody said, oh, they're never going to do anything to do with Diablo. Diablo's done now. You know, Diablo 3 came out ages ago. It was like, okay, that's their, you know, sign off to a good game, farewell, and that'll be it now. World of Warcraft is everything that they're focused on, which was definitely the case, I think, until you then get, like, StarCraft 2. You know, little bits, there were things that were coming out, blast from the past. And I do wonder if you're right now, whether there'll be a shift from maybe WoW has seen its better days and it's time to start moving on, looking at, with, you know, Diablo 2 Resurrected, Diablo 4, the mobile phone Diablo game, you know, all of a sudden we're getting three Diablo games in the space of 1 year.
I think on a certain level, though, for example, I mean, with the remakes, I mean, Diablo, this one obviously Reforged used the same netcode as the original. I don't think they're fully, and then with the Diablo, what was it that where they went back and they were trying to find all the old assets and stuff, and they had to find it. They're not making these. They're not remaking these from scratch. You know, they are updating the old games. But yeah, I think these are relatively quick and easy for Blizzard to do, and that's part of the reason why they do these remakes. It's just because they're not a big investment. That's why we didn't get Warcraft 4. We are getting Diablo 4. I don't know when that releases. Do you guys know when that comes out?
2 comes out at the end of this month. The mobile phone is supposed to come out early next year. 4 was supposed to come out early next year. I think it was delayed until maybe late 21, early 22.
All right. So yeah,
I expect delay. It will be in 23.
Well, yeah, early 22 25. Is still okay. You'll probably get it late 2022.
Mm-hmm. If they say January, it'll come out December.
But like I say, it depends. Like I say, I think you'll see. You'll know if they are kind of giving up a little bit on WoW and you're getting more focused on Diablo, you might see them actually hit those timetables more. Because Diablo 2 is coming out on time, the remastered. Okay, it's not a lot of work, but you know, at least they're standing by that. Although I think the mobile phone game in Diablo 4 have been put back already once, but I think that was because of COVID. So I can let them off for that one.
Hard to say. Yeah, a lot of things got delayed because of COVID, so difficult to say. All right, you guys want to look at a different one?
Yes.
We got quite a few options. I picked 25, so... Nice round number.
All right. I chose the first one, so Phil, you're next.
You got one you want to talk
about? Under the S, is there anything? Oh, let's go with GoldenEye. I love GoldenEye. We missed GoldenEye last week, and I was super upset that we missed GoldenEye.
All right. So we got GoldenEye 007 Reloaded. So would you like to take us off on this one, Phil?
Which I think Phil fills with the... fulfills the links with... tripping over my own name. Which, I think, fulfill. Yeah. Which brings me, because I noticed today, Daniel Craig, the last Bond movie with him in is out.
Oh, is it?
So
yeah, his final foray.
And of course, being the remake, decided to get rid of Pierce Brosnan and update it to Daniel Craig, which is probably the most contentious issue. What do you guys think?
It's a really bizarre choice.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if they're going to do that, then they should have just like given you an option of like, you can choose your Bond. You can be a Sean Connery. You can, you know, maybe a different gameplay when you get to the different character modes. You know, if you're Daniel Craig, you just punch somebody in the face or kick him in the balls. If you're playing, you know, like Sean Connery, you can, you know, confuse and bamboozle them. Or if you're Roger Moore, you can try and, you know, smooth your way through.
Yeah, it's an odd choice given that they used all the other characters use the likeness of their original actors. I mean, I could understand saying, let's just create a new non-specific Bond. You know, he's not any of the specific actors. But yeah, switching it to Daniel Craig is an odd choice given that all the other, you know, all the villains are the original actors there. But, and I mean, it would make sense to me if they got Daniel Craig to voice act it, but I'm pretty sure they didn't. So it's a really odd choice. I don't know. Maybe the guy who did it had a horrible Pierce Brosnan impression.
Yeah, you have Pierce Brosnan just across the pond. So I'm sure it's not going to cost much to get him to do his own voice.
Well, I don't think anybody in this game did their own voices. Although Pierce Brosnan has voiced Bond in a few games, but I don't remember which ones they were. But yeah, it was an odd choice. And I don't think it follows the N64 story exactly. I think the N64 followed the movie, obviously. But I think they changed a few things as well. So this is more of a remake than a remaster. I mean, it was...
I haven't played the remake, but I remember, was it in the N64 version that you had this bot following you, Tanya or something, like this girl who was an absolute horribly coded AI. So the game was fantastic, but just this bot going... doing stupid stuff all the time was a bit ruining the experience. So
yeah,
I don't know if it was corrected in this remake.
I don't know if they have the bot or not. I'm not sure. I haven't played this one. Apparently it's okay. It's not great, but yeah, it's just a weird choice on certain things. Like, yeah, let's use Daniel Craig.
So many issues. Do you think for the next Bond, they would actually take a British person?
Is Daniel Craig not British?
Is he?
I think he is
British. I don't think there's ever...
English.
Is he? Oh, okay, fair enough. Sorry, I thought he was Welsh for some reason.
No, born in Chester. Near my home city, actually. Near Manchester.
All right. Yeah, so this one's pretty different, but apparently none of us have played it. So, but it did get mediocre.
We played the original.
We did play the original.
Roger Moore's also British as well, by the way.
Well, aren't all the Bonds British?
English. So Sean Connery is, but Scottish, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
Brosnan, isn't he Irish?
He's Australian, Brosnan? I think, isn't he?
Check that.
Don't know. No American Bonds yet, though.
But, I think, do you reckon maybe we'll get a female James Bond? We have the female Doctor Who. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, apparently Daniel Craig even came out, though, and he said that he felt that there should never be a female Bond. They should just create a new character.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just you can use the same universe. You can use MI6, you know, just, and they can even be 007. Just don't make it James Bond. You know, you can create an entirely new character. And where's the point in, you know, shoehorning, you know, like, oh, we're doing this for the sake of being progressive, but it's really just like, no, it's, you can create
just
a new character.
Ghostbusters.
It will happen, or you'll get like, Netflix will do like a Jamie Bond, and it will be a transgendered somebody just to get the critics or raving. It will
just
happen.
Do like,
it always happens.
You can just do like they do the for Sherlock Holmes, you know, like Enola Holmes was a really great movie. She is definitely a female Sherlock Holmes, but she's his sister. So
exactly.
I don't know if you saw the movie, it's fantastic, and that really works.
And that's what he's saying is, you know, you can create a new character, and then by creating a new character, you get an entirely new personality you can play around with. You know, you're not stuck in these tropes of this character that's been around for, I don't know, not 100 years, but maybe in the books. I don't know. How old are the books? No, they can't be 100 years old. That's not possible. He was in the Cold War.
It's 50s or 60s.
50 years. I don't know however long. But yeah. I mean, you can experiment and do a lot of new things if you have a new character. If you just say, okay, well, we're going to make a female Bond, you know, you're either stuck in all the Bond tropes, and it's the only thing that's different is it's female, which is in a way kind of meaningless.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if you ever watched Elementary, the American series, and it has, what's she called? The American Asian actress playing Watson. She was in Charlie's Angels.
Oh, Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu, that's the one.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Escaped my mind. Actually, really good series. Yeah, so it's all right. It had my it's too early. I'm too tired. I keep forgetting names. The British actor playing Sherlock Holmes is from Trainspotting. And I can't remember his name.
Statham?
Ewan McGregor?
No, not Ewan McGregor.
He's from
Johnny Lee Miller.
Don't know Johnny who that Lee is. All right. So we'll move on. Let's do. Do you guys know Black Mesa? You do. You just don't know. You know it. Black Mesa was actually originally a fan remake of Half-Life. You guys know Half-Life, right?
Never played. Wasn't it an Xbox game?
Half-Life? It was a PC game originally, and then it came to Xbox. It's the game that Team Fortress was kind of based on, as far as the code and whatnot. But this one was interesting because it was originally, like I said, it was made by fans, and so these people just came together, built all the assets, and basically just redid the entire game and updated it. And then, yeah, I guess Valve was cool with it. They were like, all right, sure. I mean, you're going to release it on Steam anyway. That's our platform. We don't have to do any work, and we get all the money. Sure, go ahead and have fun. And they did it, and it worked out being really well done and worked out great. So I think this is kind of an interesting thing that having the idea of fans doing remakes. And that's one thing that I've noticed a lot of times people say is kind of a funny thing, where if you look at, say, Metroid Zero Mission, and there was another, I don't remember what it was called, but there was a fan made version of the original Metroid, but it was done in the Super Metroid style, and people loved it. It was super popular. People really liked it. But then Nintendo basically came out and said, nope, this is not cool. We're going to, you cease and desist. You cannot release this game. And because that's what Nintendo does. But apparently a lot of people actually liked that one. And some people even liked it more than Zero Mission. Or what was it? There was a recent one on, I don't remember which one it was. But there was a recent Metroid that was a remake of an original one. I think it was Metroid 2. And again, people like the fan version more than the official Nintendo version. So it's kind of interesting that a lot of times, when these big companies remake even their own games, they're coming at it from a position of, how can I profit? I'm going to release this. It's going to make a ton of money. But then when you get the fan made, they're not thinking money. They're thinking like, I'm copying somebody else's game. I'm never going to make a dime on this. So it's an entirely a passion project. And in a way, those end up being a lot better because, they're not, sitting there thinking about the financial gain or that sort of thing. So I always thought that was kind of interesting. I haven't played this one. I would love to play it. We'll see. That might have to be sometime in the future. I'll have to check it out. And I'm not sure if it's finished. Because I remember for a long time, it was in an unfinished state. And I think you could even play it in an unfinished state. So I don't know if it's this, for example, this trailer is from the 1.0 trailer. So I don't know.
I think fan-made stuff makes a lot of sense for the same similar reasons. And not just the profitability, but I think fans tend to get invested more in the game. I know it's hard to say that, but at the end of the day, like, the developer has one image, but that's from the small amount of people probably sat around the table coming up with that creative idea of where they want to go. But the collective conscious memory of the characters and where the people want it to go, it often conflicts. And you'll see that in so many games where you're just like, why has the story gone that way? Or what is this ridiculousness? And I think you're right. In some ways, often that is linked to profitability and, they're marketing it for certain reasons or where they can go rather than what we would enjoy or what we want. I played the original one and I kind of enjoyed it. I don't think I completed it. Now that I've got a laptop and I'm starting to get into computer gaming, maybe that's something that I might give a try when it's out, I guess.
Yeah.
Does it have a price?
I'm sure it does. I don't think it's free. It should be on Steam. I don't know what the price is. But yeah, I think a lot of times with the fans too, I think this is kind of like what we see at Star Trek conventions, where a fan comes up and they're like, excuse me, and they're like, correcting things or asking questions, and the people that are starring in it or the writers are kind of like, I don't remember that at all, but for the fans, they take it so seriously. So I think in some ways, and then plus, I mean, when you have a fan-made project, a lot of times it's not usually just made by one person. It's usually a group and they all have kind of these different perspectives on it and they all liked certain different things. So I think you can kind of get a little more specialized in certain areas. And I think also with the fans, usually it's more about capturing the feel of the game to them rather than capturing the look or the image of the game.
And you can make sure that everything's really well thought out. When you've got a small group of people, you can make oversights or make mistakes or catch things that don't make sense. And as a large amount of players, you can say, what's the motivation for that character choosing to take that decision? Is that going to ruin the plot for somebody who's playing it and all of a sudden the shy, teary-eyed, lead character is going to just mow down a whole load of people and go on a killing spree. And you're just like, what? I don't understand why all of a sudden this has just changed. So, and there are games that there are certain games where I've been, playing something, all of a sudden I take a decision in the main storyline that you're forced to. And I'm just like, what? Why am I doing this? This is completely against everything I've stood for the whole bloody game.
That's an excellent transition into, I'm going to pick the next one. Final Fantasy VII Remake, because again, this was definitely a case where the fans were not, I mean, it's a great game. It's a lot of fun, but fans definitely were kind of like, this is a weird vision by one of the original creators. And they were saying things like, oh yeah, this was always the vision. This was always the idea. We just, weren't able to include it back then, but now we can. And yeah, some of that just does not make sense after you've played the game. It's like, no, there's no way this could have been your original vision because you would have had to have thought out, 20 something years in the future, this is what I'm going to do. So yeah, because there are things that, because this is not, a remake in the traditional sense. So, but yeah, I mean, they hit all the main points and everything, and the characters definitely fit the original. But yeah, there's definitely things in the remake where it's kind of like, you changed that, and there doesn't seem to be a very good reason for it, other than because you guys have a new vision that you want to follow. So, I mean, there's some things that were changed make sense. The adding the dance sequence to what was it? The Honeybee Inn. Sure, why not? You know, we skipped skipping some of the stuff with the dress, like obtaining people's underwear, or getting into a hot tub with a bunch of greased up men. Okay, you take that out. It doesn't really change the story that much, you know, and then adding in a few things is fine. Changing some of the boss fights up, you know, making what used to be random enemies into boss fights, you know, that works out fine. But yeah, some of the story element changes are just kind of unnecessary. So
too many people survive at the end.
Yeah, pretty much everybody but one.
But I'm yes, not gonna reveal exactly. Which one. I was very disappointed. I was awaiting that dramatic moment.
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest, that's one of the things too, is that, you know, when it first came out and they were saying Final Fantasy VII, and what was it? People were saying remake, and I don't remember which one came out, but he said, oh yeah, it's called remake for a good reason. And that is why they did remake the game. They didn't just come out and remaster it and update the graphics. They did from the ground up. You know, they're going in a different direction, maybe not an entirely different direction, you know, a parallel direction, but it's not exactly on or in step with the original. So unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, it kind of depends on your opinion of it, but it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. So, all right, you guys got another game you want to talk about next? I know Antoine was looking forward to Trials of Mana.
Oh yeah, this one was a good one.
All right, so we'll skip from one Square game to another. So fill us in.
Yeah, so Seiken Dentetsu. Sorry for my Japanese crap, but Trials of Mana was... was it even released, the original one, in Europe or something? I don't think it was.
We had it in America.
Exactly, so that's why the remake was made, actually. So we can play the original, and that's really great because... And of course, I never played the original, but this one was really nice. And there's a lot of little feature which hint to the first game. Like, for instance, the music. You can have the remastered new music or the original one, which that's actually awesome. Were really good. Don't really recall which game console it was on. But, you know, if you remember the Genesis or something, the music were...
Should have been Super Nintendo, I think. Secret of Mana was Super Nintendo.
Yeah, okay. So it was actually good composition, so... Good thing about this game, RPG, of course, is that there are six characters with, was it three or six? I don't remember. Different stories. So you can replay this game three different times to have three different stories. I didn't play this one, but I saw a let's play on it, like on the three different stories with a warrior, with a werewolf, and the elf girl. It's a really, really fun game. If you like RPG, it's really, really cool. Really cute as well.
Yeah, I played the original Secret of Mana, but I haven't played this one. I actually have the remake of Secret of Mana on my PlayStation, but haven't played it yet. My friends and I, we were really looking forward to it because you could play three player, which back then was weird because most games were one or two player, and you had to have a special attachment to your Super Nintendo to even allow for up to three players. And I think maybe Mario Kart and Mario Paint could go up to four or something like that. But yeah, so we played the original, and when they announced the remake, we're like, oh, this is awesome. We're going to be able to, you know, play it again. You haven't played in forever. This is going to be so cool. And then it turned out to be local couch co-op only, which is kind of an odd choice in today's day and age. Most games actually go the opposite, where they're like, okay, we're only going to allow online play. So I'm really glad they allowed local co-op, but it's unfortunate that you can't play online, so...
Yeah, I recall in this game, I don't know if this class system is made from the original, if they revamped it a lot, but it works very well. You can choose, you know, like there's light and dark, and there's like, you can choose light or light dark, or each character has like three or four different classes they can get to, and which really change the gameplay. So the replayability of this game is really strong. It's really one of the strong points.
How long is the game?
Well, it depends if you replay. But
well, I mean, okay, one playthrough, about how long would you say?
I think, if you're a completionist, I think 25 hours, something like this, maybe 20 hours. Let's say 20, because, you know, it's this kind of game which even if you finish the story, you have a book in the library which unlock another, you know, like boss at the end of the story, another boss. So it never ends.
Yeah, because this goes back to those old Super Nintendo games and whatnot, where they weren't typically very long. I mean, by the time of the Super Nintendo, we had saving figured out, so you could save games. But even then, I mean, by modern standards, they weren't that long. Because I remember my friends would go out and they'd rent a game for a week and they'd beat it in a week. And, you know, they weren't binging it. They were just playing it, you know, when they could. Yeah, so it, with three different storylines, and that would be at least 60 hours in a game, right?
Yeah. If you're a completionist, yeah, 60, 70 hours, something like this.
All right. That is quite an investment. Yeah, I'll have to check this one out because I did like Secret of Mana. I do need to play the remake, though, and then maybe after I do that, I'm going to check this one out.
If I recall, it gets much faster with replays because each time you play, you have a party of three out of six characters. And say that your party of three, you finished the first playthrough completely and you're at level, I don't know, like 70 or something. When you restart with a character level one of your sidekick is level 70. So the grinding goes fast.
Well, that's definitely good to know. Yeah, because sometimes one of these new game, one problem that kind of comes up with New Game Plus, if you're not playing for the challenge, is sometimes, you know, if you're playing through the story and stuff, that just the grinding and stuff. Just, or when you're doing multiple playthroughs.
The YouTuber I was watching actually hated that feature and used a cheat engine to put everyone back to level one.
Ah, but I mean, you could just start over. You could just make a new save.
I guess so, but...
That seems like an odd choice. It's like, I'm going to cheat to go back to level one when I could just start over.
I think he had a lot of mod installed.
Ah, okay. So didn't want to lose his mods.
Yeah.
So this is on PC then?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
It's on everything.
Yeah, more like
you can play it on your refrigerator.
Oh no, it's not on Xbox. It's on Windows, Switch, PlayStation 4, Android, and iOS.
That's odd that it's on Windows but not Xbox. All right, well, Phil, you want to pick another one? I've picked two. Antoine's picked two.
I can't see what was below S on this list.
Shadow of the Colossus, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Trials of Mana, and Warcraft 3 Reforged. The only two that...
Oh, so that was it.
Okay. Shadow of the Colossus and Tony Hawk are the only two.
Man. What's left on this list?
Mass Effect, Destroy All Humans,
Assassin's Creed. I'm going to go with Assassin's Creed.
You got to go with Assassin's Creed then. All right.
Play homage to the misses.
So with actually... Which game? Like, it's the remake of the number one?
Yeah, this is the Ezio collection. This particular trailer is a remake of two, Brotherhood, and what's the other? There were three Ezio games, and so this is a remaster of all three compiled into one game, which I actually think is really great. I love when this is one of the things that I think should be done more often is when they remaster it. If they have an old game, you know, you don't have to make it super fancy; just make the graphics look slightly better. But give me a collection of games that all go together and just give me the whole experience at once, kind of like the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So I really like this idea, this concept. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's useful, especially as well if you get into a game and you've not really got into the early stuff. Now, it's a little bit different with this one for me. Actually, if it was for my gameplay, then I would have gone with Uncharted, which did the same thing. And I got into Uncharted like 3, I think. And then I got the collection before 4 came out, and then I could go back and do 1 and 2. But the missus loves Assassin's Creed, and we end up getting the Ezio collection. She could go back and fulfill all those little... She has all of the Assassin's Creed games. She's a diehard fan every time they come out. So I end up watching quite a bit. I think I played two Assassin's Creeds. Black Flag, which I was unsure about. Well, I did like it, but I got annoyed with the ship combat.
I loved the ship combat.
I had it on PS4 and I had some very big like gameplay problem. That's horrible. Like somehow you know, like the streets are very small and running and, you know, like grabbing, you know, like climbing on walls are in the same button, and I couldn't reconfigure my pad. So basically I was running to escape, and all of a sudden he was just saying, run, you idiot. No, I'm good here on my window. At some point, like, okay, let's just get on a boat and shoot some stuff.
That was a problem because I played, what was it, Assassin's Creed Valhalla almost immediately after Ghost of Tsushima. And Ghost of Tsushima has a jump button and the sprint button. And then in Assassin's Creed, there is no jump button. There's just a kind of a do everything button, and trying to get like through a window or climb in certain places or do certain things. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this is so tedious. You know, I liked having separate buttons for different actions as well.
Agreed, so. Yeah.
But yeah, they just kind of they have a parkour button, and you hold that button down and you have zero reason to ever let go. And you can just do everything. So I never played the Ezio games. Did you feel, you said you played two Assassin's Creed. So one was Black Flag. What was the other one?
It was either one before or the one after. I'm trying to remember the order that they came in.
Three was the one before it. That was the one where they were in America. And after it was Rogue, which was kind of a sequel. And then they had
Syndicate.
Oh, no. Then it was Unity in France. And then it was Syndicate.
Oh. Syndicate, which was one was the UK. One in England? Yeah, oh, I think that's the thing. I played that one.
We have the twins.
Yeah. And I also played the mobile phone game for a while as well that they released, the Assassin's Creed. Mobile phone games being sort of like something that I really get involved in. So I kind of capture the side bits of these games that you guys probably never play those.
I don't usually play the mobile games. I have there were three 2D games. There was a China, Russia, and India, but I haven't played them. I have them, but I haven't played them. Have them on the Vita. Beautiful system. But
yeah, and I think you're right. I think it is a good technique. I think I wish more games would do it. And like I said, for me, Uncharted did it perfectly well. I'm guessing Assassin's Creed did it to some degree, although the Metacritics for it were mixed for this, like 71. So yeah, I think it gives.
Why? Did they change things or?
Why?
Why would it get a lower Metacritic than the original?
There were complaints saying about like the controls were poor.
I'll bet you they were the identical controls and people just forgot how bad they were.
Yeah,
I guarantee possibly. You that is the problem. Yeah. You were going to say though?
No, I was just quickly checking what IGN 6 out of 10. Just the Megas were just a bad use of Ubisoft's talent pool and a worse use of gamers' hard-earned money. What's the thing?
Grab. People's going like, it's just a cash grab.
Where was the other bad one? Yeah, a shame. The controls of these remasters are awful. The first game is doable, but Brotherhood is so bad. Fighting sucks big time. There we go. Re-release with no graphic enhancements, entirely meant for new people to the series, blah, 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 blah.
Well, of course it's meant for new people to the series. How dare they re-release the game that I have played before and know entirely and expect somebody new to play it? That's an odd complaint. Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus, I think, was kind of interesting in that when they did their remake, they knew that the original controls were floaty and bizarre. And so they said, okay, we have the original controls, but we also have modern controls that mimic other games. So if you want to use something that's probably a little more intuitive, here's an updated version of it, which was funny because when I played it, I was like, this feels so weird. And I had to go back to the original weird controls. And I was like, okay, this feels more natural to me just because in my mind, it's making that connection. Yeah, I guess it's like riding a bike.
I think there's only one of the other games left on this list that I really recognize, that I've played and dedicated quite a bit of time to.
That's probably Power Rapper the Rapper, isn't it?
No. Onimusha.
Onimusha. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So Onimusha, Warlords, which apparently was the name of the original one in Japan, I guess. So you want to kind of introduce this one, Phil?
Well, I'm hoping it's the right game. Yes, it is the right game. I was just like, you know what? I'm trying to remember back what I used to play on the PlayStation 2, and I'm sure I used to play a game like this. And I'm scrolling down, and I'm like, yes, I can now see somebody fighting. It was kind of cool for me because I was never really into this type of game. when I was growing up, and I don't even remember even getting the game. So I'm not sure if like a friend bought it. I think it did. I think a friend who was into like, you know, feudal Japan and ancient Chinese cultures and stuff, and brought it around and must have left it at my house, and I somehow just inherited it into my collection. And then I played it a few years later. This and, oh, I don't know if you guys can remember, the one with Cao Cao and the other chap, and you control the army board. That was also on the PlayStation
Dynasty 2. Warriors.
Yes. Yes. I had these two. Again, you must have left that as well, because I didn't really buy these games. And I really enjoyed both of them. I really enjoyed it. I probably enjoyed the other one more because it was more tactical-based and, you know, the heroes in combat and you control your way through. But this was also really good because we're into Legend of the Five Rings at the time, which is all about feudal Japan, the role-playing game and the card games. So it gives you a decent feel for the system and how things worked. You kind of go around, you have these different swords that you can select. You go around killing everything, and then the people drop these soul-like shards that you collect, and it slowly powers up, and then you increase your weapon and gain new abilities, and you kind of have to shift between them for different monsters and what you're fighting. And it was a pretty funky, quirky game. I don't know if it stole the ideas off anything else, and what other games have that idea, but for me, I was just like, ooh.
It sounds like Sekiro took inspiration from this one, right?
Well, it sounds like Sekiro, but if you've actually played the game, it is really close to Resident Evil. This was actually, okay. I mean, if you look at some of the camera angles and the way, where it has like the pre-rendered scenes and you kind of run around and the camera shifts, this game was very much Resident Evil game set in feudal Japan with magic. And it even had like the puzzles where you had to solve certain puzzles, where it's like, oh, you found this ruby, you have to enter it into this statue's eye to open up this gate and whatnot. So it was kind of an interesting thing, because I remember when it came out and people were saying like, oh, that's it. It looks like it's a Resident Evil game, but it's not, modern time with guns. This is bizarre. I played this game, the original one. I really enjoyed it. I never played 2 or 3. Number 3 has Jean Reno in it as the main character. But if I remember correctly, the original ones, his main character was Samanosuke, I think was his name. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And the only thing that I didn't like about this game was the way it did. I don't remember if it was upgrades or magic or whatever, but it was like Resident Evil, where if you clear out an area, that area is basically clear. So you couldn't go back and farm more souls or anything like that. And that did make certain things like leveling kind of difficult at times, because the amount of souls that you were going to have to use your magic and whatnot was a limited resource. So you couldn't go back and get more. If you used it all, you were basically like, nope, you're done. You just have to progress.
I like that at the time. I thought you had to be more careful about it. It wasn't one of those.
Oh, you definitely did, but it meant that I never used it.
Go in and be careful. Yeah, exactly.
Because I was always paranoid.
Yeah, you're going to walk around this corner, there's something big and nasty, and you're really going to regret having used it just around the corner on like one guy stood on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's available on Switch. Maybe I will. Yeah, you do play it. Yeah, it's available on Switch for the Warlords. Maybe I will purchase this. We'll see.
Yeah, this one's been on my wish list for the PS4 for a while. Never got around to it because, the backlog, but... And I don't think they made a new Unimusha in a while. I think 3 was... No, I think there was one, maybe one more after 3. I don't remember.
I'm curious now as well. Unimusha Warlords, Unimusha 3 Demon Siege, Unimusha 2, Unimusha Day of Dreams, Unimusha Blade Warriors. I'm not entirely sure what the order of those are.
No. But yeah, it was a fun game. So hopefully they'll make a new one someday. I really enjoy that. Especially now, considering that... Well, today's the 29th. We're entering October. This would be a great Halloween horror game,
Okay, the fourth installment was Dawn of Dreams.
Alright.
Dawn of Dreams. Here's a question, though, before we move on.
Sure.
Onimusha is the 8th Capcom best-selling franchise. How many of the other 7 can you get that are higher?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, of course.
Street Fighter, that is third.
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil is number 1.
Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter is number 2.
So we got the top 3. Mega Man?
Mega Man is number 4. Wow, we're going down this list here.
I'm trying to think of what other Capcom games are there.
Yeah, exactly.
Does Marvel versus Capcom count?
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to get that one. I always talk about that one. Always. Yeah. So you got, that's number seven, just in there.
So we need 5 and 6 and 8 and 9. Oh, you said which one was this one?
No, you just need the two higher than it. It stops at this one. Okay. Marvel vs. Capcom. This was number 8. So Marvel Capcom 7. So you're missing the last two.
As much as I'd love to say Okami, I'm not sure. I don't think it would be Okami.
Nope.
Trying to think about the Capcom games.
Can't think of anything.
Yeah.
Give up.
Sure.
Devil May Cry and Dead Rising.
I didn't realize those were Capcom.
Yeah. Completely forgot about them.
Devil May Cry does not surprise me at all. But I didn't realize Devil May Cry was Capcom. But Dead Rising, okay. All right, that's kind of interesting. All right, but seeing as we kind of mentioned Resident Evil, you guys want to look at Resident Evil 3?
All right. I want you to finish on some advertisement for the channel because played Nier, but you played Nier, so I thought, can you give us your impression of
Nier?
Make sure you go to the YouTube channel to see Adam's gameplay.
yeah. Make sure you go there to see Nier. Nier Replicant version 1.22474481 or 8713 continuous. I believe this is the square root of 2. I believe that is the significance of this number. It's a weird choice, but it's Nier.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this game. Nier Replicant, so when the original Nier released, it was in the West. Japan thought, you know, in the West, people like big, brawny, strong men, you know, and so they released Nier Gestalt, which had an adult Nier character. And in Japan, they released Nier Replicant, which had the young Nier. The games played identically. It's just that your character was different. And the only difference was you're still trying to save the girl Yuna, but she is your sister if you are young Nier, and she is your daughter if you are old Nier. That's the only difference. Everything else is identical. In Replicant, basically they updated the graphics, but the gameplay is roughly the same. They did change a few things. For example, in the original, if you wanted to use magic, you had to sit still and use it. You couldn't run and use magic at the same time. You couldn't run and gun. So they added the run and gun from Nier Automata, so you could do that now. And they updated the music, so a lot of people actually kind of wish that they had done the thing with Trials of Mana where you could play the original music or the new music and you would have a choice, but unfortunately you don't. It's just the new music, which I think is supposed to tie it in a little bit more. Some of the themes are kind of related with Nier Automata. And also there is a new chapter added, two new chapters actually. So one of them is in the original game. It wasn't in the game, but they released a book and they had kind of a what they call the Little Mermaid chapter. And in this one, you actually get to play through that. So that's about midway through the game. I thought it was going to be like a side quest, but no, it's part of the main story. So, you know, I found that out after the fact and I was like, oh, OK, that's what that was. But they added an entirely new chapter there. And then they also added an extra ending to it that kind of ties it in more with Nier Automata and also was also, again, in the book. So a lot of people, when they got to that ending, they were kind of like, wait, you know, they changed the ending. This isn't Nier. This, you know, they did this, but it was like, nope, that was actually always canon. They just weren't able to put it in the game. So other than that, it plays pretty much the same as the original. If you've played Nier Automata, you know, then and you like the gameplay, then this gameplay loop is basically exactly the same. Music's fantastic. Story's pretty good. And it does do kind of the same thing with Nier Automata where you start the game and you play through it and then you have to play through it a second time. But the second time you start about halfway through and you can kind of blaze through stuff a little bit quicker. So if you like Nier Automata, I would highly recommend it. If you like ARPGs, I would also highly recommend it. So,
Because Replicant is a prequel to Automata, right?
Technically, Automata is a sequel to Replicant, but yeah, because Replicant came
right,
first.
Fair enough. So, do you think that there will be a sequel to Automata?
There was. It's the online one. The mobile version is a sequel to Automata, but that's a mobile gacha game.
PC version.
I don't know. I mean. PC. And this is the thing, they're loosely related. For example, Nier Automata takes place, or Nier takes place, I don't remember which year it is, but it's the year, I don't remember, 5,000, 3,000, 6,000 something. Nier Automata takes place in the year 10,000 something. So, I mean, this is millennia, several millennia in the future. And so they tie into each other. You know, you'll see faces reoccurring, or, you know, they'll have vague references to each other. Same thing with Drakengard. You know, there's references to the, what do they call it? The white flower. I don't remember what the name of the white flower, the lunar tear is a flower in this that they kind of mention a few times. It shows up in Drakengard. It also, you know, there's a few references to it in Nier Automata. So mostly they're all in the same universe, but their connections are kind of more of fan service than actually meaningful sequels. So,
oh, you mean like they tried to do with Final Fantasy X and the 7R? With the Shinra
picture. That's an Easter egg. That's just entirely an Easter egg. Yeah, these are slightly less than Easter eggs. These are actually like thematically tied, you know. So
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and then, you know, they might mention something offhanded where, you know, like for instance, they just showed there a robot, and that machine, you know, after you defeat him later on in the game, he flies off into space, and he inspires the aliens to create the machine life forms in Nier Automata. So, you know, if you look at the backstory that's not in the game, outside the game, you can see these ties a little bit stronger, but it doesn't detract from the game if you don't know them. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, okay, oh, there's a guy with a moon head. Sure.
Why not?
Why not? All right. So I guess we're going to wrap it up with that. All right, so quick news, nothing too exciting this week. It's been kind of a slow week, just a few things. We mentioned last week that, you probably couldn't hear me, but I mentioned, if you could have, that the PS4's update had been breaking the system. It looks like they have fixed that, so you are safe to update your PS4s now. Also in the Epic Apple debate thing. So Epic basically won the lawsuit, but then lost on a bunch of other things. And now Apple, until all the legal stuff is out of the way, Apple has basically said, we're not going to be offering Fortnite on our systems anymore. So if you have Fortnite on your Apple, who knows, that might become a collector's item at some point, kind of like all those old phones that still had Flappy Bird. So yeah, keep that in mind. But yeah, no Fortnite on the iPhone for the foreseeable future. And in our last piece of news, if you really want to call it that, they have cast Chris Pratt as Mario for the new Mario movie. He is going to be doing the voice of Mario. It is going to be an animated film. But yes, Chris Pratt is the new voice of Mario, which has a lot of people kind of thinking it odd, considering that there's been a guy voicing Mario's for years, but who knows what they're going to do. And then I don't remember his name, but the guy who voices Mario in all the games is apparently going to be in the film as well. So he's going to do some voice roles as cameos, I guess, but he's not going to be Mario himself. I don't really understand the logic there, but yeah. And it's also going to have Seth Rogen as, was it Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, Jack Black as Bowser, and I don't remember who's going to be playing Toad, but I remember it was a really bizarre choice. It struck me as very odd. Let's look it up real quick, because I remember it did amuse me when I read it. Let's see. Mario movie Toad. Mario movie Toad. I remember seeing it and I was like, what? Let's see. Chris Pratt is Mario. Anna Taylor is Joy. Oh, Anna Taylor Joy is Peach. Charlie Day is Luigi. Jack Black is Bowser. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. Ah, okay. So yeah, Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. So that struck me as a really bizarre choice, but okay. I can't imagine him doing the Yahoo! Really high-pitched voices, but we'll see how it goes. All right.
Well, the big question is, will it be as good as the first one?
That's going to be a hard sell. I mean, the first one's such a classic. Everyone knows the first, I mean. But who knows? I mean, Lego Movie surprised us twice, three times if you include Lego Batman. So who knows? Maybe they'll get lucky. Yeah, it might be. I don't know. You know, like that. That was one. That's my only hope, is that, you know, I had low expectations for Lego Movie and I thought it was phenomenal. So who knows? Maybe they'll get it right. I could be wrong. Or maybe they're trying to set our expectations so low that we can't but be impressed.
Yeah, not a good marketing doing this.
I'm having flashbacks of what was The Rock, the remake of Jumanji game.
A lot of people liked it. I didn't, but a lot of people did.
And then they did a sequel to that as well.
And now he's in Jungle Cruise.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Jungle Cruise, which is a copy and paste of the Mummy movie.
Well, it's based on the ride, right? It's like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly, yes. You're not going to make a story out of that. No, they just took the Mummy and put it in the Amazon. That's it. That's still very entertaining and nice. It's just...
Have you seen it?
I watched the movie already, so... Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen Jungle Cruise. All right.
Yeah, with the kids, of course.
Oh, okay. So it's like a mummy. So they have like a monster that's doing magic and stuff?
No, they have mummies.
They have mummies in the Amazon.
Literally.
Mummies are ubiquitous now. They're in the Amazon. They're in ancient China. They're all over the place. They get around.
Exactly. With magic and all.
With magic and all.
Exactly.
All right. Well, it is getting towards the end of the show. So we're actually going to be ending on time today. Check that out. But but it is starting day after tomorrow is going to be October, which of course is Halloween month. So do you guys have any special games planned for that month or?
Not really. I mean, I'm completely into Star Sector at the moment. So I was thinking space game, but that's not really Halloween-y.
Okay. So... Dead Space. That's a remake that they're doing too. That's a great Halloween game. So are you going to be streaming that or are you just playing it on your own?
I'm just playing it on my own.
What about you, Phil?
Yeah, I
didn't... No, sorry, continue.
I mean, I didn't even finish Spellcaster University yet, so still need to finish that first.
What about you, Phil?
I was just checking. I realized with playing this new game that I might have... Did I miss the release of Diablo 2 Resurrected? Is that already out?
Yep, it's already out.
Yeah.
Okay. Should have been out a week ago. I've been so distracted with the new Lord of the Rings game that I've just missed that completely. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Do a plug.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure everybody. I mean, it's worth giving it a shot. I know some people don't like mobile phone games. This is a really really intense mobile phone games, and it brings me back to games like Planetarian. And we talked about that before, those browse-based tick games from a long time ago. This is very, very similar to that, just modern updated. It's seasonal-based, so it resets after two months. And you can... some things in the game remain, like if you unlock champions, then the next season, then you will have those characters unlocked already to the prestige level that you've got them at. You still have to level them up and get the powers. But you keep it, gear and equipment. So basically there's a good reason to keep playing through the seasons and you do get some bonuses, but you can like change your faction, change your alliance, change your server, change the people you're playing with every time that you go around. So it's kind of fun and quirky, but it can be, I'm playing it pretty hardcore. I tend to always do that with mobile phones. Some people play it a bit more casual. I'm probably kind of like managed to grind about 3 weeks worth of work in my 1 week of being on the game. So I'm pretty strong. I think I'm like top 10 of the server. But it is interesting. Give it a try. Have fun. I mean, if you don't like it, you can delete it. There's like 100 servers. They had like 500,000 people or something sign up for the pre-order of a mobile phone free-to-play game, which is pretty insane. Yeah, the following. And it is lighting up. I know there's a lot of content providers and there's a lot, you know, big network out there, so it's worth downloading it. Give it a try, see what you think.
All right, sounds good. So you're gonna be streaming that or just playing it?
Making videos, I think. Streaming is
not your forte.
Well, yeah, I feel like it's difficult to keep people watching and interested for a long time as you're just running around gathering and sending out farmers. For those type of games, it's not like boom 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 open the door, boom 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 open the door, kill the ghost, boom 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 kill the mummy, you know. It's it's kind of like just sit with it and grind it, and then there'll be some action somewhere along the day. But yeah, I will be making more videos, try and make one every couple of days or so. So if you do start playing it, keep subscribed, because there's going to be more stuff coming out.
And what's the name of the game again?
Lord of the Rings, Rise to War.
Okay.
Free to play.
I'm saying that if you understand French, I'm playing this at the moment. It's a it's an RPG book. You know, the book where you're the hero. You know, you have you all play tabletop game, right?
Yeah.
So it's at the beginning, you create your character. Uh-huh. And you choose your actions through the book.
You keep your finger on the top corner of the page, and then when it's bad, you'd be like, oh, no, I didn't choose that page fully. I actually meant 64. And you're like, oh, I win.
Exactly. And no, trying to keep it. No,
I have
I'm
a
not
load of the very old. I think they're about 25, 30 years old. The very, very original Warhammer 40K books that they had with those. They had ones for each different Space Marine. You could follow the books.
Yeah. But they're only actually this one is a very recently released by a very famous French YouTuber, and it's really cool. So I released the first episode already, and I'll continue reading it through in the next week or so.
Oh, you streaming that?
I'm not streaming. I'm recording. You know, like exactly.
In a big leather chair with a fireplace, and
So in the same format as For the Lore, you know, I'm reading it and I'm just putting some pictures and some background music, and I'm trying to avoid the meta as much, like, you know, like romantic. I'm not rolling the dice in front of everyone. I'm just doing the action and then reading what I did.
Okay. So just reading it like a story in a way.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. A long story.
Interesting.
You have four different kind of characters. I'm just playing one. I'm not going to do all four because it's... really dense, really dense. So once will be good enough, but yeah, it's going to be fun. Only in French, so sorry.
All right, fantastic. And yeah, I'm going to be dropping everything for Halloween. So I'm going to be not streaming my usual games. I'm going to put Greedfall and Ghost of Tsushima. I'm going to be putting those on hold. Greedfall, I might continue on my own. But anyway, I'm going to put those on hold, and I'm going to be playing through, I'm going to try Dread Out, you know, because that was the one that Antoine had recommended. So I'm going to try Dread Out. I'll probably start that one on Friday, since that'll be the first day of October. And I'm going to do Bloodborne, and I might pick a third, so we're going to see. So yeah, I'm going to be doing all horror-themed games this month, so that's going to be my thing.
I'll tell you what, if I do Diablo 2, I'll give you a special. If I download Diablo 2 Remastered, I'll give you a Necromancer special to go with the theme. Ooh, he's got undead.
All right, sounds good. Okay, and with that, we're going to draw the episode to a close. Make sure that you subscribe to us, and if you can ring the bell, that would be great, because we do go live sometimes, and then you can come on and chat with us. We have a beautiful thing right here. Where all your chat will go. You can see what you say and we can respond to you.
I'm not sure if it works with live videos, but there might be a subscribe button added at the bottom right, actually. I'm not sure.
Check it at the end. Figuring all this out. So yeah, so make sure you subscribe to us, try to ring the bell, and we look forward to seeing you guys again soon. All right, so with that, bye-bye, everyone.